Good morning. I'd like to present some thoughts this morning to you to the subject of the image of Christ. We noticed this passage a couple of weeks ago, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, where we focused on that we are transformed from glory to glory. But there's a lot of thoughts here that we should consider and I think are benefited by when we consider all that's being said here. It says, "We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Remember that Paul had been discussing here with the Corinthians how that the Mosaic law and the people that were under the Mosaic law and Moses, when he received the Mosaic law, he went up onto Mount Sinai, and when he came down, the people were unable to look upon him because he had been in the presence of God, and it said that his face shone like the sun. They couldn't bear to even look at him. And so he put a veil over his face. And Paul here, by the Holy Spirit, is saying that that's the way that people looked at what God was revealing, that not all of what God wanted to say was revealed, that the plan of salvation was spoken in a mystery, couldn't be clearly seen. There was a veil upon it. And the sad thing about it was is that there were Christians in the first century who now had received the gospel of Christ and the full explanation of the mystery, who are wanting to go back to the Mosaic law and bring some elements of the Mosaic law into the practice of the doctrine of Christ. Can't do that. It was nailed to the cross. It was taken out of the way. But Paul is making the point here that we, with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. So as we look into the gospel of Christ, we see God as He is. We see Christ as He is, and we see ourselves as God would have us to be. I hope we'll be impressed with that as we go through the lesson this morning. As one looks into the perfect law of liberty, he sees the image of the Lord. James 1, verse 25, you see where James says, "He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." He's doing the work of God. He's doing what God teaches him to do, and so he'll be blessed by God. Are you looking into the perfect law of liberty, the law that sets you free from your sin, to serve him, to make you like him, in which you can participate in the abundant life that Jesus came to teach us about and lead us to everlasting life hereafter? The more one beholds the character seen in the mirror of the gospel of Christ, the more he becomes like Christ. In the same vein, but in contrast, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits or good morals." Evil company corrupts that which is good. So what are you spending time with? Are you spending time with beholding the face of God and of Christ in the words of the gospel? Are you allowing God to form your character? Or are you just being formed by the character of those around you? Compare yourself among yourself. Pick and choose what part you want to be and what you want to participate in. We need to look into this perfect law of liberty. We need to see Christ, and we need to see ourselves as Christ would have us to be seen. So this image is revealed in the gospel. A very important passage on this subject is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 through 6. You'll notice that our text was taken from chapter 3. He says, "We with unveiled face are beholding the glory of the Lord." Now notice in chapter 4 how he develops this. He says, if our gospel is veiled, there are people that can't see the glory of God and of Christ. If they can't see the glory of salvation, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. It is veiled to those who do not believe, will not believe, will not humble themselves before God, will not revere God in order that they might keep their commandments. It is veiled to those who are perishing. God did not design the gospel to be veiled. They do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We're not out here promoting ourselves. We are here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to reveal Christ to you. And ourselves, we're just bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. Remember that? Genesis chapter 1. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's the incident that he's talking about. It's the same God who commanded that light shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Do you see the importance of that? Do you see the importance that unless God had ever said, "Let there be light," physically, there never would have been light physically? Do you see that unless God had provided the light of salvation in the gospel of Christ, we would be in darkness of our sins? The same God who commanded physical light into existence also commanded the spiritual light into existence. And here he's emphasizing the gospel. He has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Notice in chapter 3 and verse 18 he says that we are transformed into the same image from glory, from His glory into glory, that we might participate in His glory. But notice with me again here in chapter 4, he says, and verse 4, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. The revelation of the glory of Christ is found in the gospel. Now notice, exactly in the same way, as you drop down to verse 6, he says, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do we cherish what God has revealed to us? That God has revealed Himself to us fully in the gospel. Not in the Mosaic Law, but in the gospel, in the doctrine of Christ. The glory of God, he says here, the knowledge, the revelation of the glory of God is found in the face of Jesus Christ. And we can behold the face of Jesus Christ in the gospel. Not face to face, But he is the Word of God. In the first century, he was the Word of God made flesh. In our century, he is still the Word of God revealed to us. And John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, he says, we're writing to these things that you can participate in the same fellowship that we have with Christ. We saw him. We heard him. We touched him. We lived with him. We lived in fellowship with him. And you can live in fellowship with him if you will hear this gospel, trust it, and obey it, and participate in the glory of Christ and the glory of God. Some people might say, well, why should we be conformed to his image? I think one of the best reasons is that's what God ordained. It was for this very purpose that God created us. In Romans chapter 8 and verses 28 through 30, it says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he called. And whom he called, these he justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. God foreordained that we should be conformed to the image of his Son. And that image is revealed in his Word, and specifically revealed fully to us in the gospel of Christ. We should be conformed to his image so that we might be complete. Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, Jesus said to his disciples, he says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. We have a perfect teacher who teaches us perfectly, and we can be like him if we will revere his instructions and conform to his image. We should be conformed to his image so that we might be glorified. I want to come back here to Romans chapter 8 and verses 28 through 30, where we notice that in verse 29 he says, whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. This is his plan all along, that we should revere God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. This is the whole purpose of man. But notice, as we come down to verse 30, he says, whom he predestined, these he also called. How did he call us? He called us by the gospel. And whom he called, these he also justified, those who responded to the call. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. You want to participate in the glory of God and the glory of Christ? We need to pay heed to the call and realize that he called us to be conformed to the image of his Son. We are to be like him. We are transformed into his image by the passing through of the mold of his doctrine. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17 says it this way, God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, though you were in darkness, he called you out of that darkness. He called you out of sin. Yet you obeyed from the heart, now watch it, that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You passed through the mold of the doctrine of Christ. That's somewhat shown to us at the beginning of this chapter, and the point that he's making in this chapter. Christian, you're not a servant of sin anymore, so stop sinning. Don't you know that so many of you, as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? You're to stop sinning. You're to rise to walk in newness of life. Follow Him. Be like Him. This doctrine of Christ, this washing away of your sins and rising to walk in newness of life, it's an ongoing process. So we noticed a couple weeks ago, it's a dynamic process. It's not a static, not something you do and you're done. It's something that continues on and on and on as you continue to conform to the image of His Son. So as we do that, what marks will be evident? If we're going to be like Christ, what will we be like? The first one that comes to my mind is that of love. God is love. But certainly, if we are going to listen to Him and do what He tells us to do and be like Him in His image, then we are going to be practicing love. Love, a sincere interest in the welfare of others. Love is not self-focused, it's others-focused. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But notice here, Jesus said in John 13 and verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." To what extent should we love one another just as Christ has loved us? Well, how much did He love us? He died for us. There wasn't anything that He wouldn't do. There wasn't anything that He didn't do that was for our benefit. What will we do for one another? In John 15 and verse 12, He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Our love is to be like His love. 1 John chapter 2 verses 5 and 6 says, "Whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him." It's completed in Him. "By this we know that we are in Him. He who says that he abides in Him ought himself to walk just as he walked." Ought himself to live just as he lived. That his character ought to be just like the character of Christ. That the primary purpose and motivation of his life is that of love. And the first love is that for God. "If you love me," Jesus said, "keep my commandments," John 14 and verse 15. So John here could write, "Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." Are you keeping his word? Whatever he instructs you to do, are you doing that? Or are you resisting him? And if you're here today and you think that you are in him and you are resisting his word, you are deceiving yourself. By this we know that we are in him. When we keep his word. When we love him more than we love our sin. When we love righteousness more than we love unrighteousness. And we turn completely to practice his righteousness. Another mark that we will have is that of purity then. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, John writes, "Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself." To what extent? Just as he is pure. Just as the image, just as Christ, we, the image of Christ transformed into the same image, will be pure. That's the pure standard of purity that we are striving for. We will have the mark of righteousness. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." We noticed this morning from our study of Hebrews that that Christ loved righteousness. And that's why the Father was glad and happy to declare him Lord and identify him as his Son, to call him God. He who practices righteousness. To practice righteousness, we must give ourselves to the instruction in righteousness. Love righteousness more than we love anything that is evil. Another mark we'll see is that of humility. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, being found in the appearance of man, Jesus Christ, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Wasn't possible. Wasn't possible. In order to accomplish the salvation of man, the price for sin had to be paid for man. Rather than allowing people to pay the price for their own sin and be separated from God here and hereafter, Christ became sin for us. Died, paid the price of sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He didn't just die. He was put to death. His life was not taken from him. Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay down my life." He sacrificed himself. He could have called for 10 legions of angels. But he laid down his life. He paid the price of our sin in his death. Without the shedding of blood, we're told there is no remission. And his sinless blood, his human sinless blood, was shed to purchase our salvation. John 13 and verse 15, another display of his humility that we are to be like him. You'll remember that on the night that before Jesus' crucifixion, that the apostles and he were gathered in observance of the Passover. And as they all came together, generally the custom is that the host would provide for the washing of his guest's feet. Well, who was the host? They were just all together, put this thing together. Problem was that nobody, they were all in discussion about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. Certainly someone who's great in the kingdom isn't going to be washing the feet of each other. They all thought they were better than each other. And so Jesus washed their feet. And when he finished, he said, "I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." In Matthew chapter 23, this point is even made even stronger, where he talks about those who are your servant will be greatest. He says, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted." Glorified. As we see Jesus humbly serving us, even dying for us, we need to, first of all, serve him and serve one another. We will certainly have the mark of holiness. In Ephesians 4 and verse 24, he says, "Put on the new man, which is created according to God." Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? "Except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Except you be born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into life." Put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put on the new man, which was created according to God in How do we know about that? The gospel. It teaches us about this new man that is raised to walk in newness of life and not serve sin, but to serve righteousness. Created according to God in true righteousness, not self-righteousness, but true divine righteousness. The practice of which is the results in holiness, set apart from the world, set apart from sin, set apart to His honor and to His glory. Put on this new man and be holy as He is holy. Another characteristic that we'll see as we participate in the image of Christ is that of endurance. Hebrews 12 in the first three verses says, "We also, since we surrounded about by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, the doubt, the unbelief that we sometimes have. Let's just trust God and obey Him. Let's serve Him and glorify Him. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." This is not a sprint. This is not something we start and stop. Run with endurance this race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus as an example, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Why should we endure the race that is set before us for the joy that's set before us? The joy of the abundant life here and the promise of eternal life hereafter in the presence of God and the heavenly host. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. We despise the ridicule and the persecution and the rejection by friends and society. And we despise that, don't we? Think how much more Jesus despised what He went through. The Creator of the world being spat upon by His creation, being crucified by His creation, hearing His creation cry out, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" Imagine how He felt. But He is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Your friends might reject you. Boyfriend or a girlfriend might stop being your boyfriend or girlfriend. Might cause family problems, internal family problems. Certainly, society is going to look down upon you and call you all kinds of names. But don't become weary. Don't become discouraged. Endure. Let that light of Christ that was lit within you, let it shine. Just as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, set there to be seen. Let your good works be seen before men, that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven." You were lit for a reason. Take the veil away from them. Let them see the glory of God, His righteousness and His holiness in you and your life. So let's take a look at this transformation. We have a few passages of Scripture that are similar to this one. And we noticed a couple of them, I think, a couple weeks ago. But we didn't look at this one. And I'd like for you to consider it with me. What does this transformation look like? Colossians chapter 3 and the first 17 verses, rather lengthy reading, but we're just going to read it. "If you then were raised with Christ," were you? "Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins and rise to walk in newness of life with Him? If, you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not only on the things on the earth. For you died, your carnal man, you living for yourself to gratify self, you died. Your life of sin is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Child of God, are you listening? We can't have it both ways. The wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. You put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Not judged by the color of your skin or your ethnicity, but the content of your character, the character of Christ. Therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do also. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, which ties all of this together, which makes it possible for you to stop living that old life and start living this new life and be in his image and have these characteristics, this desire to serve him. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace or favor in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name or by the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. The image of Christ. It's a glorious image. It's an image that we have been called to. We've been called out of the world and out of darkness and into the light of his glory. And if you're ready to take that step this morning, we'd encourage you to let it be known. Let us assist you in your obedience to Christ. Humble yourself before him. Let yourself be as those of old who said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant hears. Whatever you say, I will do." Well, he says, except you believe that I'm he, you will die in your sin. Except you repent, you will perish. He's not willing that any one of us should perish, but that we should all come to repentance, turn to him, be created, recreated, be born again in his image. Confess him before men. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. Preach the gospel to everyone. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Will you today? Let it be known that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. He is now your Lord. Have your sins washed away in His blood as you obey Him in baptism. And rise to walk with Him in newness of life and to abide in His Word from this day forward. If you're here today as a child of God, you know you're out of favor with Him. You need to make corrections. You know that the image that you're presenting in your life is not the image of Christ as it should be. You need to make corrections in your life. You'd like to have your brothers and sisters pray with you and for you. James says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation today in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?